Jason, the Bears won a football game. We'll talk about how much that matters coming up on Hallis Intrigue.
When we get started here, I'm going to need you to begin by taking it down a notch there. Let's not. Jason, this might very well be the 5-12 Bears Super Bowl, but this is not our Super Bowl, Patrick.
Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Jason Leisure, the Bears won a football game. Is that the
That's more appropriate. Yeah, I had to get out in front of that before you went on. But yeah, you sounded like you were striking up the band there, man.
Bears hadn't won a football game since October 13th.
Jason? They hadn't won Bears won a football game.
They hadn't won a game on American soil in 3 months from Monday, October 6th. And they managed to do so against the Packers team that, yes, was without their starting quarterback for more than half the game. Yes, was without Christian Watson. But a Packers team that was playing for something. And the Bears won 24-22. They did it with goofy trick plays. They tried to do what they've done for the last 10 games, which is piss it away at the end. And they were pretty successful in pissing it away at the end. And then Caleb Williams finds DJ Moore. They sprint to the line, spike the football with 2 seconds left. Cairo Santos hits a 51-yard field goal to win the game against the team that had blocked his field goal way back when. Doesn't change anything about how awful this Bears season has been, but it's at least a nice little pick-me-up entering a really important time of year for the Bears, which is, what are we going to do at head coach?
I have no patience for your enthusiasm level right now. I'm going to lose it with you. And I think the audience, you know, which is predominantly going to be a strong pro-Bears audience, is probably feeling the same way toward me.
Okay.
Because I'm not... I just am not going to celebrate this. I'm sorry.
Who's celebrating? I said they won a game. Nobody's. I don't have noisemakers.
You threw in there, and I almost let it go, but now I'm about to.
You threw in there
that the Packers were playing for something. Who played quarterback today for the Packers?
Well, Jordan Love started, then Jordan Love hurt his elbow.
Yeah, Jordan Love looked like he could play when he was throwing on the sideline, warming up. And then
the very end. But they were playing for something pretty legitimate, Jason, was if the Commanders lost and they won, they'd get to go play in L.A. instead of in Philadelphia. That's a giant deal. And now the Packers have got to go to Philadelphia to play the Eagles, who I think are going to kick the ever-loving snot out of them, particularly if the Packers play next week the way they played on Sunday.
They probably will, but you know, Green Bay is the weakest of the three NFC North playoff teams.
Yep.
And Green Bay could still be in the Super Bowl this year.
Yet, nobody should be excited that the Bears beat them.
They're not going to be the favorite. Well, Malik Willis was playing quarterback for them. I will say it is funny. There are some funny things from today's game, if you insist on talking about today's game. And not the multitude of problems that face this organization.
We'll get there.
Once this game ended. It is very funny to me, though, that Thomas Brown, interim coach Thomas Brown, who will get an opportunity to stay in some capacity, although will be interviewed at least for the opportunity to stay in some capacity, he did two things that Matt Eberflus never did. And the obvious one is beating the Packers, but the funny one is he won a road game on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It's one of the quirkiest footnotes on the Matt Eberflus era was that he never won a Sunday road game. Well, that just happened. Thomas Brown did it. It was not pretty, though. The Bears opened 3-and-out with a punt for the 11th time. You know how many teams this season went all season without scoring a touchdown on their opening drive?
The Seattle Seahawks, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Chicago Bears.
Three.
Yep.
How did you know those other two? I've spent all day looking that up. I could have just asked you.
Yeah.
How did you know that?
I know things.
All right.
Keep it moving.
Good stat there. there was more kind of red flags on Thomas Brown even in the win as he proceeds as a candidate. They had this bizarre... I'm sure that even if you're happy about the Bears game, if you're a Bears fan and you're listening to this and you're happy about them winning, you're still kind of like, what is this? This is just kind of more Matt Eberflus type nonsense where they have the 2-point conversion and they're going for it to try to go up 22-13.
Let's reset this. First drive of the fourth quarter, the Bears scored to go up 7. They decide to go for 2 to make it 9 to go up 2 scores.
Which I like. I liked that move.
I didn't like it in the moment. They run Philly special because why the hell not? It's the last game of the season. Just very much doesn't work. There's a defensive hold on the Packers, which puts the ball at the 1 if the Bears want to go for 2 again. The Bears go, no thanks, we'll just kick a short extra point. What was Thomas Brown's? And it worked out okay because
When you said "let me reset," I didn't know that meant you were just going to do it instead of
what me. What did Thomas Brown say about his decision making there?
What he said essentially was the way I interpret his answer two ways. One, they went for two because they really liked this play where Keenan Allen was going to throw a pass, even though that same idea was not so great early in the game when Keenan Allen threw an interception. But two, what I inferred from his answer was he did not want the momentum crushing thud of going for it twice and not getting it.
Okay.
So once they had gone, they score the touchdown, everything's really going the right way for the Bears, then they don't get the 2-point conversion, that's kind of a downer. He wanted to get things going back the right way and just kick, get the point, get everybody feeling good again.
If I were him,
it's weird though. It's really weird that we're willing to go for it from the two, but not the one. And I mean, do they only have the one play that looks good on a 2-point conversion?
If I were him, I would sit there and say, "Man, have you seen us from the 1-yard line? We're horrible." Like the one is the one is a worse situation for the Bears than the two, given all the failures they've had at the goal line this season.
They also, and this is, you know, this has been ongoing Matt Eberflus, Shane Waldron problems that have really not stopped during Thomas Brown. And by the way, when we're talking about the kind of the indecision with him at the 2-point conversion, I mean, he had a situation like that against Seattle with a fourth down in that game that just hasn't really gone away. But additionally, even though the Bears survived it and pulled it off and were able to spike the ball at the end to stop the clock to kick a field goal, they burned two timeouts, Patrick, much earlier in the fourth quarter, both times to avoid delay of games because they were in disarray.
Because they didn't have their stuff together.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, they did. And I don't think whether you're Matt Eberflus or Thomas Brown, I don't think anybody's going to teach a master class on clock management off of what the Bears did this season. The fact that they were able to, at the end, do something effectively with the clock, I think is encouraging because of who did it, and that person being Caleb Williams.
Well, that's improvement.
Yeah.
Because while it was ultimately Eberflus's fault, and he deserved to have that, to be held accountable for what happened at the end of the Detroit game in Ford Field, Caleb had a hand in that too.
Yep.
And Caleb has looked much more, and honestly, last week, Pat, against Seattle, I felt like, where's the urgency in this offense with time winding down? Caleb was really on it in that final possession today as far as the clock. And I liked that he had, not only was he doing the right thing, but he had the whole team doing the right thing.
Can I reset that? Is that allowed? I can reset what happened to the Bears get the ball at the 20 coming out. Caleb gets sacked or throws the ball away on a horse collar tackle, so it's 15 yards. Throws the ball or completes a pass to Roma Dunze for 15. Gets them to midfield with 34 seconds left. Jason, at the time, you're sitting there going, all right, they probably need about 15, 17 yards to get comfortable. The Bears end up, it's 3rd and 6 from the 46 without timeout left, which means that they need to complete a pass, get on the ball, spike it, and hope that they've gained enough yards for Cairo Santos to make a field goal. There's an illegal shift by DJ Moore that gets you to 3rd and 11 at the 49. And then all Caleb did was get in the huddle and told DJ, hey, if they're playing press coverage, I want you to run a little slant. That's what they did. It completes the pass to DJ, goes down. Caleb rallies everybody at the line of scrimmage, spikes it, and with 2 seconds left, Cairo Santos lines up and makes a 51-yard field goal. I think executing that successfully is probably the only thing about today that mattered.
Very good special teams day for the Bears because I liked the trick play. The Bears pulled out a lot of things today, and you know, they had the trick play that they scored on in the punt, and Thomas Brown was talking about afterwards about being aggressive, and Josh Blackwell was saying, who scored the touchdown on the punt, which was just great play by Josh Blackwell. Don't forget as you enjoy that play that it's about a 170-yard run for Josh Blackwell from the line of scrimmage all the way back to catch it, then to turn around and go to the end zone. They were saying, well, we had nothing to lose. It's time to pull all these gadget plays out, the Keenan Allen plays. I think you should have been at that point a long time ago.
We had nothing to lose 6 weeks ago, Jason.
Yeah, come on. How about doing this? How about trying some of these ideas when the season is still on the line? One more note about the Cairo Santos kick. We were watching him kick you and I were watching him kick before the game. And is this the south end zone, I believe, that he kicked the game winner into?
I think it's the north. Yeah, I looked it up. I think it's the north.
We saw him kicking into that end zone, whichever one it was. And he was so short on everything. He was kicking. I don't know if he was able to make one from 43 to 45 yards in warmups into that end zone. And to step up with the game on the line and make a 51-yarder against the team, then he said this was definitely in his mind, and I could totally understand why it would be, because this is human nature, against a team that had blocked him from a game-winning kick before. So a really good one for Cairo Santos and the special teamers today. Bears simply don't beat Green Bay without it. They didn't do nearly enough on offense to be able to get past Malik Willis. They needed that.
He said that when he hit his knees to say his prayers this week, he prayed that he could beat the Packers on a field goal at the end of the game. And he said that, I think, because of how much it weighed on him that they blocked his field goal attempt earlier this year. Jason, now it gets fun and busy.
Very busy, yeah.
For the Bears. Thomas Brown is going to interview with them this week, presumably. Ryan Poles said that today on the pregame show. They're going to line up on Monday and put in requests for a whole bunch of coaches. And then they can talk to them at some point in the next 2 weeks on Zoom before they can meet with people who are affiliated with the NFL in person for the first time, I believe, January 20th. So we have 2 weeks of just kind of getting to know you Zoom calls now. And, you know, it'll be slow. But it will be very interesting.
If you had to bet $10,000 on who the next coach of the Bears will be today, who are you betting?
Ben Johnson.
The same here. I think he's the favorite. I think that plenty of other guys deservingly will be in the mix, and the Bears might choose one of those guys. Brian Flores has absolutely the reputation. I mean, the resume, his reputation's a little bit the problem.
Yeah,
I know. Because of what Tua Tagovailoa said about him and what it was like to play for him, and I wouldn't even consider pairing him with Caleb Williams. But Brian Flores has the resume certainly to be a contender. Cliff Kingsbury has the resume to be a contender. Joe Brady is a name that's getting tossed around a lot.
Liam Cohen with the Bucs.
There are a lot of guys, and they need to be interviewing on Zoom Ben Johnson or Brian Flores. We're recording this before we know who wins the Lions-Vikings game Sunday night. Whichever one of those guys is playing in the first round, you need to be interviewing them Wednesday. And you need to be interviewing Cliff on Wednesday.
The other way around. The one with the bye. Whoever's got the bye, they can interview starting this Wednesday. The teams who are playing this week, they can interview starting next Wednesday.
Okay. Excuse me then. Yeah, Pat wrote a great primer on this. If you're like me and forgetting, or if you're like some other people and you don't even know the rules that the Bears and the process, it is different. It is probably not what you are. It's not the same even as it was when the Bears last did this in 2022. You can find that on suntimes.com and read that.
Do you say primer or primer?
Is primer British? Is that the British pronunciation?
I always thought it was Southern.
I always say primer.
Yeah. I wish I said primer. That sounds cooler, I think, but I've never.
You say primer too?
Yes.
Yeah, we both say primer. Yeah. Right. I probably think of it as like painting. Maybe you know, painting, you pronounce that word primer.
Correct.
Maybe it's not how you pronounce it in this case. But either way, they need to get going on these Zoom interviews, because you never know which of these teams is going to go to the Super Bowl and stretch out your process, Pet. And you really want to be in position to have serious interviews with these guys as soon as they become available. The total governor on this for the Bears is getting the best candidate. This is not about being sly. This is not about going cheap on something. You have this opportunity. If you're the Bears, you believe you have this opportunity right now with a rising star at quarterback. Who will now be going into the second of his four-year, you call it a four-year or a five-year rookie window?
It's a four-year deal.
It's 4 years where it's really cheap. You have that opportunity. You can't blow that. You can't hand that to another Matt Eberflus type right now. And I think for me, I would throw out any defensive-minded coach, any defensive coordinator right off the top for that reason. I want that, quote, coach quarterback connection that the Bears never really ever seemed to have. You cannot have that dictated by, well, so-and-so that we think is the best choice is playing in the Super Bowl, and so we don't want to keep waiting and waiting and waiting. Like, you, if it's the right guy, whether that's Ben Johnson or whoever, it's worth waiting till February to secure him.
The 49ers did that with Kyle Shanahan. That turned out to be pretty good. Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings. That was another case where he coached in the Super Bowl. That turned out to be pretty good. So there are some examples of it being worth the wait.
What made you laugh more today on Jay Glazer's report on the Fox pregame show about head coaching candidates? Did you laugh more at seeing the name John Gruden on the list, or more at seeing Kevin O'Connell as a trade candidate on the list?
Probably Gruden, for obvious reasons, but it sure sounds like Kevin O'Connell would like a contract extension. And it's pretty surprising that he hasn't gotten one yet, given the success he's had in the 3 years that he's been there. But boy, if Jay Glazer goes, some teams are considering maybe calling the Vikings to see if they would trade them their head coach. To me, I just hear that as Kevin O'Connell's agent wants an extension done quickly.
Looking at the Bears' 24-22 win over Green Bay, it doesn't really change anything about this season or where they're at big picture. You don't sit here and say, well, you know, they're not a 4-13 team. They're a 5-12 team. They're still half the wins, less than half the wins of everybody else in the division.
Yep.
There's a long climb just to legitimately catch Green Bay for third place in the division. And the other three teams have their coach, mm-hmm. for sure. They have a guy, I guess, unless Kevin O'Connell gets traded, the other three teams have their coach. Two of them have their quarterback, the Lions and the Packers, and the Vikings may very well have their quarterback whenever J.J. McCarthy gets going. And it seems like maybe you or I could play quarterback for Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and a top 10 offensive line. I mean, those teams, my point is, those teams are not going anywhere. And this is all a zero-sum game. You can't just fix your own problems, because you could fix all your own problems and still be fourth best in the division.
Yeah, it probably. I mean, the Bears could be what? 10-6? They're 10-7 right now and still be last in the division?
Yeah, 10-7 would have been last place in this division. And 10-7 is a big leap. Caleb Williams was talking about them needing to make a, quote, monumental jump for next year, and that's really what it is. And that's really the problem if you're Ryan Poles, because it should never be understated the mess that Ryan Poles walked into in 2022. Ryan Pace wrecked this place on his way out, not intentionally, but through just terrible judgment. Left them with minimal long-term talent, totally disastrous salary cap situation, and compromised future draft capital. Ryan Pulse should have walked in the door and had the number 5 pick in the draft in his hand and didn't, because Ryan Pace had traded it to move up and take a quarterback that Ryan Pulse was never in love with.
Right.
So huge, huge mess to start out with. But we're way past that. You don't get to keep blaming Ryan Pace for the mess. You don't get to keep blaming Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy and Shane Waldron and Justin Field. Like, those guys have that has all been dealt with. You are looking at a 5-12 team that is a mess of Ryan Poles making. That there are bad decisions and misevaluations on the coaching staff by Ryan Poles, on the offensive line, tremendous errors in sizing up that talent. You can't be going into year 4 and 80% of something still needs to be replaced.
Right.
On that offensive line. Everyone but Darnell Wright, the 5 starters, should be out going into next year. The defensive line has only Montez Sweat at this point that we can say for sure.
And are we sure he's good?
Yeah, I do think Montez Sweat is good, but he might not be, you know, the Myles Garrett, TJ Watt level great that the Bears and Montez thought he would be. He's going to need a partner on the other side. There are all these things to fix. And now you have Kevin Warren. All indications are that Ryan Poles is staying, no matter what you read online or hear or speculate. Every indication is that Ryan Poles is staying. I'm pretty sure Ryan Poles is going to show up at a press conference on Tuesday to talk to the media. And then I would say you don't do that unless you're keeping a guy, but the Bears just had a guy talk to the media like a month ago that wasn't sticking around until lunchtime that day. That would indicate, though, that he's going to stick around. And by the way, you know, Kevin Warren went much further than just saying Ryan Poles is staying next year. If you go back to what Kevin Warren actually said, it's a really, really strong statement. And
yeah.
It's a paragraph in favor of Ryan Poles. So for Ryan Poles now, that's great that you get the assurance about your job, But an assurance about your job is also kind of an ultimatum. Once it reaches the point where someone needs to say, hey, this guy's not getting fired, you're only getting that once.
Yep.
So Ryan Poles with assets, with three picks in the first two rounds, and we're still waiting to see how some games turn out to see where the Bears' first round pick ends up, and $82 million or so in cap space, and who knows what he can work, you know, trading for disgruntled stars. Maybe Myles Garrett, who we just talked about, wants out of Cleveland. Maybe there's I can't think of who it was. Oh, maybe like one of the Cincinnati receivers. Maybe T. Higgins becomes available in a trade or something like that. There are possibilities out there. But, Pat, it is hard to look at it right now and say, well, there's enough resources to match up with all the needs and that the Bears could go from 5-12 to, you know, 12-5 next year.
You'd have to hit on your top four draft picks, probably the three first rounders, and you'd have to hit in free agency. And it's worth reminding people every year in free agency that great players don't find their way to free agency. Usually if they're available,
certainly not in their prime,
there's a reason. And let's look at Nate Davis. Great example of, boy, if he was so good, why did the Titans let him go? Well, we saw why the Titans let him go. Let's look at Tevin Jenkins, who's going to go into free agency this year. He's definitely talented, but the Bears don't want to keep him. I mean, it's hard to find answers in free agency. The best way to do it is through the draft, but the Bears have more needs than picks, quite honestly.
More needs than resources. But here's the thing that it could all pivot on for them is Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. If Caleb Williams, who I think overall a net positive this year, not as advertised, certainly.
Right.
I didn't live up to his own expectations. The Bears, ours, I'm sure yours listening, thought everybody consensus was that he would be better, faster than this. What did he throw for? 147 yards today?
Is that not a lot of yards?
It's just not doing it. I mean, I know it was a fairly efficient 147 yards, but we were running Justin Fields out of town for games like that. Caleb Williams, and this would be coupled with moves that help facilitate this happening. Caleb Williams making a big jump in 2025 is the wild card, is the thing that could really vault them out of where they're at right now and into, you know, playoff contention or better, or, you know, playoff, making the playoffs, or being a team that actually could advance in the playoffs and put fear in opponents. Man, that feels so far away to even be talking about right now, but that's got to be where the bar is for Ryan Poles to get to stay, I would think.
Yeah, the best thing about being a freshman is eventually you're a sophomore, you know, and he is going to know what he's walking into next year. He's going to, you know, we've heard his coaches, his offensive coordinator, his quarterback's coach, talking about the importance of finding a routine during the week, the importance of finding a routine before the game starts, of learning how to learn, of learning how to study. You know, and this is something that he will be better at in year two than year one by virtue of it being year two.
I expect him to get better, too, not just based on what we see, but what we hear from him. I think that Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky both handled things very professionally during their time here. Caleb has never been defensive about his play. Those guys were. Caleb seems to have a very healthy grasp of how far he needs to come as a player. I think if he was sitting here with us right now, he would be nodding along to every criticism that we raise about him.
Right.
And that was not the case with the other guys. I think there was a lot more Caleb would have every reason to point the finger this year. Playing behind a totally substandard offensive line and with totally incompetent coaches.
Watching the Bears fire all the people who brought him on.
Yeah, he has talked about that being kind of being adversity and being unpleasant and not ideal. But he's never once pointed the finger at that. He's never gone out and thrown Luke Getsy under the bus, for example.
Right. Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's going to be a really big offseason for him. And, you know, I feel like we've said that about other quarterbacks, and it was true then. But just how he grows by watching film, by trying to figure out the pro game is literally, and this isn't hyperbole, it's probably the most important, if he can figure it out, it'd be the most important development this franchise has had in 50 years.
So we want Ben Johnson.
Yep.
I think I want a left tackle or a right tackle with that First round pick.
So you can move Darnell Wright if you have to from right tackle to left.
I would imagine they're going to move Darnell Wright to left tackle anyway.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Okay.
And then I want interior offensive linemen in the second round, both picks.
Okay.
I want to rebuild the offensive line with three draft picks, and then you have to spend on somebody in it. And while that might sound like overkill, take a look at all the good offensive lines. That's what they look like.
Yep.
That's how most of them were built. If you look at the top 10 offensive lines in the league, you're going to see teams that have put multiple first and second round picks of their own into that. And then maybe there's one guy that they had to go get in free agency, or one guy that is kind of a journeyman, you know, a Matt Pryor type. There are these good offensive lines were not built cleverly.
No.
They were built with throwing huge resources at them. And while there are many other problems for the Bears to address, and you could sit here and say, well, shouldn't they draft a defensive tackle or pass rusher with that top 10 pick or whatever it ends up being? I mean, they could, but your fastest way to being competitive is accelerating Caleb Williams. Your fastest way to do that is getting the offensive line built instead of this.
Well, and let's keep in mind, too, you got to keep them healthy, and it is borderline miraculous that Caleb Williams could be sacked as many times as he was sacked this season and still finish the season making all 17 starts. You're not going to get that lucky year after year unless you find somebody who can block for him. Only took one sack today, Jason. It was the first play of the game, and it was after he fumbled the snap. So he finishes 8 shy of the David Carr 2002 NFL.
By far the most in the league.
Oh, yeah.
By far the most.
Double some quarterbacks. It's crazy. Jason, the Bears are going to clean out their lockers on Monday, and we will hear from Caleb Williams and Thomas Brown. As you mentioned, we will hear from Ryan Poles presumably at some point this week, as well as
Kevin Warren, too.
As well as Kevin Warren. These are all league-mandated things. So there will be plenty to talk about, Jason. I'm sure we will talk about it then. Until then, you can follow Jason, Mark, Potash, and myself on social media. Check us out on the Sun Times website or in print or on the app or wherever you get your Sun Times news. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.